Alright, welcome back to another episode of Mundane Mums. I'm Missy.
And I'm Joni.
And today I was going to start off with my mundane thing I've done this week. On Wednesday was my dog's birthday. He's 9 years old, by the way. Thanks for asking. So Joni asked me if I actually threw a party for him and didn't invite her. We just more of used it as an excuse to eat junk food. So we bought biscuits for him and human biscuits for us.
What biscuits did you buy?
For him? What? Not sure. Do you want to go here?
Southern biscuit?
I did the British biscuit. We did cookies. Okay. We bought cookies for ourselves. So
why don't you call them dog cookies?
You don't call them dog cookies, do you? Everyone calls them biscuits. Doggy biscuits.
I don't know. I don't have a dog. I've never had a dog in America.
I've noticed that. So dog biscuits, but we call our cookies cookies, but they're dog cookies. So our human biscuits are,
which aren't biscuits.
Yeah, we're cookies. Actually cookies. We're like hybrids right now. We're like kind of doing British. We got those little Nutter Butters that look like peanuts. That's the one James got for the girls. No. And I got mint Milanos. Ooh, I like. Yeah. I should have brought those here. Yeah, we could have eaten those right now. The girls were like, oh, I want to try some. I'm like, no, these are mommy's cookies. I don't even play around. I'm not going to waste it on them. Okay. So, and the dog has like bacon cheddar biscuit. We gave the girls each like, oh, give Vash a biscuit. You know,
did you put candles?
No, we didn't. We just ripped open the cookies and just started eating it. Like, that's all it was.
Okay.
But Clara, my year and a half year old, was waiting for Vash to finish the other biscuit. My dog, that other older girls had given him, and she starts tasting the bacon cheddar one, and I'd be like, stop eating the dog biscuits. So that was my mundane thing, was enjoying cookies / biscuits and then dog biscuits with him.
No, I think you're redefining the word mundane, because
it's just getting weird.
Far too many exciting things.
I was thinking more of like oddities. More like a we're all isolated at our home. We're just getting weirder and weirder this year. So what is your mundane thing?
I've just really not been doing anything at all. So I have acquired quite a lot of celery. And do you have a celery recipe? I'm accidentally juicing some of it in the bottom of my fridge. I don't mean to.
Well, you know, I mean, a couple years ago, I let her borrow my really nice juicer. And then I asked for it back, like this Indian giving thing. And like, I wanted to suggest you could just juice it. But I'm like, oh, I can't, because then she's going to want the juicer back. And
took me 5 years to get that juicer back from her.
And neither one of us used it. Like, she didn't use it in 5 years. I got it back and used it once.
I only gave part of it back to her, and she didn't even realize. I was like, have you been using the juicer?
This is one time I'm glad I answered honestly. I was like, oh, no, not yet, but I plan to. She's like, well, you've got a piece of it here. And I was like, oh, busted. I wasn't even able to use it, but I'm glad I didn't lie. I'm like, oh, yeah, loads of time. But go ahead. So celery recipe, what's the top one you've
like... I actually still haven't tried any, but everyone kept suggesting celery soup, but that doesn't sound
good at all. I would rather just drink the celery. I think like I like celery juice that much, I would just juice it and drink it.
I just don't want it to taste like celery anymore, to be honest. I'm so sick of eating celery.
Soup just sounds disgusting to me, like thinking about like, the texture of soup but and it having soup, a celery taste.
The soup starter idea, that was pretty good, and I don't even know why I didn't think about that, because that's so obvious.
What do you mean?
You freeze it with carrots and onions in the freezer.
Oh, then you can toss
the onion.
I just made chicken pot pie the other day. It was carrots, celery, and onion. Like, that is smart. Whose idea was that? Not sure.
I think that was Roxanne's idea.
That's a good one.
My sister sent me 17 things British people do with celery, which we didn't do any of those things. One of them was celery and pheasant. How many British people eat pheasant?
Where do you even buy pheasant? Oh, guineas. I'm thinking of people have guineas around here.
Know, like, yeah, that's not the kind of English people I hung out with. We were not shooting pheasant.
Pheasant and celery.
I didn't do that recipe. Obviously. We said 17 bags a day, but it's not every day, and it's not a whole bag. It's just a small personal size bag of celery. And Josh will eat it with some ranch dressing. And I just really got where I have to be in the mood for celery.
I'm always in the mood for celery. I like it.
Okay, we'll take some home.
I think I will. I'm trying to think, am I going to juice it or do a soup starter with it?
I'm looking for a celery cake recipe. How many people don't do that?
And you don't know it's celery, you just know it's like got a really nice texture. Yeah. This cake's so fluffy. What's the secret? Celery.
I know, well, people put zucchini in a cake. Come on.
We can send a man to the moon, but we can't.
Anyway, so today's topic is going to be about parenting U-turns. I used to be obsessed with Margaret Thatcher, and that was one of her famous quotes.
Oh, really?
The lady's not for turning. She famously said that she wasn't for U-turning. We are for U-turning, apparently.
I think each kid wears you down, and you have to do a U-turn.
And so today's topic is more to do with things that we said we would do as a non-parent that we were really really entrenched in this idea that over time we have shifted.
Even your first one, even like started with your first child, some ideas, what you've kind of changed and shifted.
Yeah. And I think everybody has to change on the no sugar mm-hmm. rule.
Yeah.
I don't think I've met a single parent who's been a no sugar parent. But I do kind of feel like we should stick together and help each other.
Right, right. To not like totally give in to the basic American diet where it's just so...
Yeah.
You know.
So whenever we have people who come over who I know are no sugar people, I purposely make sure that they don't find my secret stash of sugar.
I'm just going to put these wrappers over here.
I won't be like, oh, let's get some cakes because people are coming over when I know that's not what
they like. It's like people you invite over, you know they don't drink, and you hide the wine bottle so no one knows.
Quick, put the advent calendar wine.
Yeah. We were laughing about the advent calendars. We're like, with the wine a day. And I told my husband, I don't know if I could drink a wine a day like that. Do people really do this? Oh, we're laughing about that. But go ahead. So the U-turn. So what's, I think sugar. Yeah, that was like, I remember being my oldest Jane. I did pretty good for a while. And then you're just crazy. You're like, you're pulling your hair out after a while. Where this is
easier.
It's really
hard when other people, that's their fun thing to give your kids. Sugar. And then that's, I think, where that opens that door. And then it's really hard to close it once it's open.
But also, there's also just a sense of honor and respect. Let me give an example. Our next door neighbor, they're no longer there, but it's this older retired couple. He would always be home and working in his yard. And he loved to give them ice cream sandwiches over the fence. And it was just almost like the sense of, I could roll my eyes and be like, oh, I don't want them to have, or this could be something that brings him joy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Almost like, kind of like giving in a little bit and saying like, this is, and it's funny, they're no longer there, so I'm glad I enjoyed that time of saying like, let him give the girls candy over the fence, and it was fun for him because his granddaughters were older. And
over time we just kind of learned to not really do it in the house much, so that when we were out the house and it came in, then it was, we're not big Halloween people, so we don't do the candy from there, so that's a good thing that we miss out on that. And then we don't always eat all of the candy that they get at Easter, and
you always share drop stuff off here before, you just find friends to drop it off with, and it's like, here, you deal with it.
So we'll have like a binge day, but then I'll be like, okay, we're gonna put this away now. I don't even do the whole one piece a day. I know some mums do that. I don't like that, because I've got no self-control, so.
I think enjoy, it's all like moderate, you know, enjoy it if it means three pieces today, that, you know, like I said, I throw away Milky Ways when they're left over, so there's just certain things I don't do.
But Missy has an interesting story about one of her big U-turns that's a little bit sad, but not really. Kind of turned out to be a good thing.
So I've had three pregnancies, three babies, and they were all planned home births. And with all three, I have transferred to the hospital for hospital birth for all different reasons. It's funny. It was just one of those things where I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you know how many times I've paid for a home birth and still haven't had one? It's kind of funny where next time around, if we were to be pregnant, I was like, I'm just going to cut out the middleman and go to the hospital. I've had hospital births anyway, but to me, my thing was I wanted all natural childbirth. And I do believe that's still very important. So with my first one, I transferred and I still had a natural birth at the hospital. It was just kind of like a precaution for something we were seeing. Second one was like a transfer to a C-section. It was pretty serious. Yeah, this needs to happen. Third one, I transferred because I said, I'm just tired. I was like, all my labors have been over like 30 hours. Joni's like 30 minutes. She's lucky if she hits that mark. But to me, it was like day two of my labor. And
I don't even know how you've had three. I mean, I would have stopped at one if I had to do
I've always had these like
labor.
Terrible, long process. So the third one, I was like, I'm tired. I need to go.
I think I've had five kids and still haven't had the same amount of labor that
how many
you've had
days?
With your first one.
Right. If you just count up how many days I've been to labor versus her five, how many hours are you at?
So like the first one was quite long at 14 because they were trying to stop it because he was premature.
Right.
Lydia was my most ordinary. Hers was 12 hours. And then the other three have been 2 hours each.
So me, it's like, we're like 20, you know, Jane, my first one was 36. And this is active labor I'm counting. I'm not counting, oh, I started to feel stuff. And like, this was 36 hours active labor.
Okay, active labor then. So drop off the 12 hours for Lydia.
Active labor also is 6 centimeters or more. So.
Oh, okay. So
like, maybe 20 minutes. You're at 20 minutes
now. Yeah, they did. But I was having like regular contractions. She was a really good birth because I was having regular contractions. I went to a Bible study. I came home. I was able to call Danny and be like, hey, I think I'm in labor. We should just do something about this. The others, it's I'm nothing, boom. And
then, no, I'm like, I go into labor Sunday and I have the baby early Wednesday morning about. So it's like, those are my stories. I'm in labor. No one hears from me for a couple of days.
I know,
people I'm think like, I'm dying. But no, so my third one I transferred, and it was just, I had epidural, it was funny. I used to tell my husband, I'm trying to have natural childbirth. Why do all these people have these, like, medicated, well, everything's fine for them. So I was sitting there in the hospital bed after I had all my shots and stuff and just waiting. My husband leans over to me. He's like, you're finally getting one of those births you always talked about. It's like, yeah. And I had her. I had, you know, so I was thankful. It was just like, oh, thank you, God. It was just like, you know, and I'm thankful we were there at the hospital because she wound up having to be in NICU for 5 days afterwards. So yeah, I could see God kind of had me. That was the first time I'm like, I'm tired. I just need to go.
Yeah, but. Yeah. But I think one of the times, especially in this day and age, we have a world where everyone has to divide on everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's either you're this or that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's one extreme or the other. And I think mine, I have like a similar thing where I started out and I really wanted kids that were like on schedules, doing things when I wanted them to do them. Hmm. Just kind of like way more, you know, they will sleep through the night. They will do all that kind of stuff. I started out like that. And I think Missy started having kids and she's like, yeah, we're just probably going to let them co-sleep. I'm probably going to nurse them until they're five.
We still co-sleep and I nurse till two. So, yeah. But I've got opposite where I'm like, I don't want any schedule. I want it real open. Now I'm like, it's really good when Clara goes to sleep for a nap at this time because it gives me time I've kind of, you've almost came a little more into a schedule.
Yeah, and I think that I always think it's really important to have that. If you're like that, if you've shifted on things, you should say more because there are those people who are just in the extreme camps of, I'll only ever do a natural home birth, I'll only ever do this, I'll only ever do that, and then the alternative, I'll only ever do the C-section. And do you have an epidural when you have a C-section? I don't even know.
You know, I've actually had it all done, and I don't know. I think there's a spinal, and there's an epidural. I don't know if they're one and the same. I felt like I had something different for the surgery, because I didn't have enough, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Shows you.
You were too tired.
I was so informed. Yeah, that was my 20th-something hour. And also, too, my backup home birth doctor is in, like, Atlanta, so it was, like, an hour. I'm in labor, like, 3 a.m. driving from I'm Sonoya, Georgia, and it was just driving like over an hour to DeKalb, and I'm in, you know, labor, but just miserable. And so the last time I went to the hospital, I just sat on a bench. I couldn't even walk anymore, and James is parking the car, and I remember this sweet man, he was getting the trash. He was on like a little golf cart at the hospital. He comes up to me. I probably looked terrible, and he's like, are you okay? Are you in labor? I was like, I've been in labor for over 24 hours. I can't walk. And he's like, wait right here. He like sped away. He got a nurse. And because I couldn't even get into the building without my husband. It was like, I was so long in labor like couldn't even walk anymore. But I remember the sweet man like seeing me and he ran off and got someone for me. Yeah. So my introduction to the hospital is always like me waiting for a long time. So I don't know if they're the same thing or not. I've had it twice now. I don't know if I had an epidural and a spinal for the actual surgery. I don't know.
But I kind of think, like, there should be more of a conversation for moms who haven't always made all their decisions, you know, to kind of okay to change their view on something.
Yeah, it's definitely changed my view on how other people make decisions. Because to me, it's always like, oh, I'll never do that. And then, like James said, I've had one of those births I've always talked about. And he meant I would talk about in the sense of, like, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
and
there
I'm like, here I am, like, yeah, sometimes you need to make that decision. I guess being willing to know what, you know, like, knowing, I don't know.
And I think letting the Lord change you your heart on that. Because I think as well, the good thing that always happens, I went from being a real overscheduler to now being a co-sleeper. I mean, I'm not really that scheduled in the house. I try to be.
She still cuts them off breastfeeding at 1 year. That's happy birthday. You're 1 year old. You're done.
No, I didn't for the last two. Yeah. I did go longer. Oh, okay. About 18 months. Yeah, I get
I don't
fed
remember
up
that.
I do get fed up with nursing them. But yeah, I would be like 1 year of nursing, no more. And now I look back and I think, why did I do that to myself?
Clara's actually 20 months old today, actually. Yeah. And I'm already kind of setting her up for it. It's like, my body needs the break. I'm like, okay, let's try to, you know, spread out the nursing time, do a little less and less. But I do it to comfort her, you know, obviously. But I'm one of those moms. No, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm a little more delicate than you.
No,
sure.
No, I was really not very mumsy when I first became a mom.
I always wanted to be a mom, but I was never the kind of person that wanted to hold other people's babies. I was always I just want my own. Like,
I still don't want to hold other
people's babies. I'm like that. I'm like, I'm not a big, it's like, and I love having babies. Like, that's like the funnest time. I mean,
yeah.
And I enjoy it, but I was never like, I'm not a baby person. I was like, I'm just my baby person. I'm just my own kid.
I always used to say, if you ever see me with babies, I'm probably lost.
Yeah. Yeah, I could probably count. I probably held like 3 different babies my whole life before I held my own daughter.
I never had a babysitting job. I never had
me.
And then like Josh was born 10 weeks premature and I'm like, I don't even know. Oh. Raise up. But I mean. Yeah.
No matter how many babies I have had, though, each time when there's that newborn thing, I make James change the diaper for the first week because I'm scared. I'm like, I don't know how to hold this. Like, you know, and then... So cloth diapering, that's another thing that...
Oh, yeah, I did that for a week.
I've done this in my third baby. This is, like, my sixth year. If you think about it, you know, they potty train around 2 years. I have learned, I used to do cloth all the time with Jane, even out. And then I realized, and then with my second one, Lottie, I was still doing cloth out. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? I'm, like, trying to make Jane not touch the bathroom wall. I'm trying to change out a cloth. And so I made the rule, a U-turn was, anytime I'm out, it's disposable. And at home, I just save the money and, you know, just do laundry.
I think you gave me stuff with my fourth, I think, and I just...
By the time you have the fourth one, it really is, it's kind of like, it's kind of out the window to incorporate something that new.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I tried for a week, but then it was just like, there was too many other things to do, and it's like, I can't waste the time trying to do all of this.
See, and because I've only done, it's me, it's so fast now, we're like, there's this... old Simpsons skit where Marge is changing a diaper and she's all throwing stuff up in the air. And like, it's like, that's like me. I could do that with a cloth now because I had all those times without the extra kids that I really got it concrete.
I think some things you do have to start from the start. I remember our midwife saying she bought all the cloth diaper and stuff with her 12th or something. Just like,
nope.
Never even opened the box.
Yeah. I think another thing we U-turned on having kids was paper plates. I remember like you made a joke because we used to like never do paper plates and now we're like, you're like the fourth child's when we started doing paper plates and all.
Yeah, we did it temporarily when they were...
Yeah, you know, when that newborn thing, it's like, it's so nice when we don't have to do the dishes though. It's like the stack is like a foot tall of paper plates. It's like, you get a big stack.
Yeah, but I do think it's important to talk about things that you've changed on, because I think a lot of times new mums can't feel like they have to know everything, or feel like they have to like take an opinion on something and can't, because everyone's like, hey, you should do this, hey, you should do this.
Oh yeah, saying what works for their family.
Yeah, and it's like some things that work out not working out. I couldn't have stuck with making my kids sleep through the night, sticking to a schedule and making sure this, because it just, we live in a small house and it starts to disturb the whole family and it's just, so it's just easier to co-sleep. I mean, I really liked that with the last two to co-sleep.
That's right. And I have a cousin who's pregnant with her first, and it was just cool talking to her on the phone because I just wanted her to be able to dream and tell me the stuff she wanted and not be like, well, you know, I did this and this didn't work. It's almost like to not even be the naysayer in her life. It's like, man, let her figure out what she wants to do.
Seems
and not be like
everyone always has an opinion.
Yeah, what I did, what works for me, and it's just kind of like...
But I am the kind of person who does give an opinion, but I kind of always want to be like, but you don't have to.
Right. Like, I did get to share
anything.
Some things that are special to me. Decisions I've made that I never thought I would make, and I did, and I was happy. Like, I feel like there's freedom to share something that's good, but the people that aren't being helpful, they're just like, oh, well, me, it was always the schedule. You know, send up the something, this and that.
Dogmatic of thing. And I just think that's a really hard time, and people should be able to even make mistakes. Like, you got to be able
change
to
your
make,
mind. And
you got to do things and think, okay, I don't like that, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'll switch it myself and figure out my own way. Because like, it is just everybody's different. And everybody, like, I've met people where I've thought, hey, maybe a schedule would be better for those people. But then there are some people where it's, you can back off a little bit. You don't have to be quite so. And that's what I was more like. And I remember I used to iron all my kids' clothes. I don't know when that stopped.
I don't even think I ironed mine as an adult working when I didn't have kids. I should have ironed it. I used a dryer. I would always just throw it in a dryer.
Okay, but I remember, I always used to iron the kids' clothes every morning before I put
their
clothes on.
Never ironed a little child's outfit. It's just so little and...
I'm
glad you U-turned on that. That was a good one to change.
It was more of a U-turn because I ran out of time. This is one of the things. And they always used to, every morning, have a bath for like an hour. And the other day I said to Abby, when was the last time you took a shower?
I'm like, I'll bathe myself. And I was telling James, I don't think the girls had a bath since Tuesday. It's like, at least I got my hair done. It's like, they're feeling a little sticky, you know?
At least in between going to church. Yeah. Somewhere between those two times, you've got to get a shower.
It's the winter time. We're about to be able to go even longer between showers now.
Have you sweat today?
You're good. But I think that's a good place to stop there. Just the idea just to say, yes, you will make U-turn as a U-turns as a mom or as parents, and I think it's healthy to reevaluate the stuff you go through.
Yeah.
Let the Lord lead you in things too, you know what I mean?
And even if you end up coming around to somebody's idea who at first you resisted, you know, because of the way they said it. It's like having the freedom to even be able to say, well, okay, I am going to do that, but that's because it's working out best for me, not because I have to do it because you're telling me to do it.
Appeasing people. It's just, you know, being free to say, I'm going to do what works best for my family, you know.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us.
All right, bye.